This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam Wadeen Muhammad, Muslim leader.
We praise God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the Lord, Keeper of the world. Peace be unto you in the greetings of Muslims. Assalamu alaikum. We thank Allah, that is God, for our presence here today. And we are very pleased to see you together here. And we are thankful for the opportunity to address many who are listening now because of the system and the arrangement that we've been made with the radio station. We are beginning today with the thought of the present time. The present time in which we live is a time that was hoped for, time that the people of God, those of the scriptures, Judaism, Christianity and Islam, and others, besides these two major, these three major groups, expected a time to come one day when people will be all together in one community, that is, living as a family, living as one big family, the family of mankind, the human family. And the scriptures tell us that natural development in the life of human beings as families, as tribes, as communities, as nations, as groups, living together under one system, natural system. That time has come, and they speak of it as one world order. But when you hear the expression one world order, it's talking about what business life has brought about, or what the system of economics have brought about, business life. Business tied us all together. What one nation survives on may be good enough until that nation becomes aware of what another nation is surviving on. But all of us, the many nations, the many groups of people living on this earth, become aware of what each other possess and what each other survive upon and what each other enjoy, we then want to have more if we have less than others. We want to have a better life if we have a worse life than others. It is the nature of a human being, men and women, to want to share with others and help those who have worse conditions than ours. This is human nature. So eventually, opportunities open up for people to engage each other in business. For people from the East, Far East, to sell to people in the Far West. And engaging each other in business brings you to become acquainted with each other, to come to know each other. Muhammad the Prophet was a businessman before he was called by God to be a prophet. The Messenger, before he was awakened to his role as a prophet, lifted up or raised to his role as a prophet, and was made the Messenger of God to all people. Before that, he was a businessman. He had gone out of his country, not like many of us, who never leave sometimes small neighborhood that we're in. We go no further than the grocery store, or the places we need to go just to take care of our home needs, our home life, the home needs. I've met people who have gone and they've never gone out of their neighborhood. Just right in their neighborhood. That's where they live all their life and die there. In fact, I met somebody recently, and I was asking them, had they traveled outside? They said, no, they've never been out from anywhere, but in their own hometown. Muhammad the Prophet had gone to Syria, was a distance away from his hometown, Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, as a business person. So this traveling from his hometown as a business person, and by the way, he was employed by Lady Khadija, the woman that became his wife, may God be pleased with her, before he became the Messenger of God. He was employed by her. She was the businesswoman. In that land that we think of as land at that time of heathens or pagans, they were engaging in business and doing trade outside of their country. The proof is the life history of Muhammad the Prophet, among other things that we know. But that's the living proof for all Muslims, is that he was employed by his wife. This is his history, known by people throughout the world. Muslims, all Muslims know this about Muhammad the Prophet. Employed by a woman, and she became his wife. And he continued his employment with her after he became her husband. She hired him because he was trustworthy and just fine, very fine person, human person. She was not the only one that trusted him. He was trusted by his people of his town where he lived. They called him El Amin, the trustworthy one. They called him As-Sadiq, the truthful one. These were his names he was given before he became the Messenger of God, Muhammad the Prophet. So anyway, business eventually brings people together. Man is described in science as a hunter by nature. He's a hunter. He had to hunt to survive. That was before this modern world of transportation, all this systems of transportation and systems of this and that. Before the world was systematized the way it is, man had to leave his home and go out and hunt for his food. And many times also for his clothing. Go and hunt animals. The cold regions demanded that the man protect himself from the cold, and he would go out and hunt animals and skin them and get their furs, clean the skins and use those skins to protect them from the cold. Business life is very, very important. Why do we want business? Because we are made human. We are flesh. Flesh needs food. Flesh needs protection. Flesh needs housing as protection, etc. So the needs of our flesh, our mortal life, eventually bring us to become business people and brings our world to become a business world. So we hear our political leader, our government officials, the political leaders talking about one world order. That's what they are addressing. They're addressing the time in which we live, where business interests have connected us all around the world, have connected all of us. And the good heads in the business world, I mean by good heads, I mean the intelligent ones, the experienced ones, intelligent ones, they see that the best life for them separately is the best life for them altogether. So you have small business people, small business, small businessman now, is becoming active on the world scene, producing products that the world needs. Products go from his country to a far distant country. And he's just a small businessman. He's a small businessman. That's an opportunity for the small businessman to become a big man. He produced an item. That item is desired by the Saudi Arabians. That item is desired by the people of Mexico, desired by the people in France. If he knows that that item has appeal in those far distant places, in those markets, and he can make the connection, he can ship it there, well, he becomes all of a sudden a supplier of a product, a good, on the international scene. This time cannot tolerate racism getting in the way of world progress. If we are racist, there's not much room in the world for us anymore. This world cannot tolerate independent-minded people who think only for themselves. We cannot tolerate that anymore. The time has come that is given in the Bible, in certain language, and in the Quran, in this language, that people were once one community, like one family of human beings. They didn't know color as a division for them. They didn't know nationality or nation as a division for them. They didn't know ideology as a division for them. They only knew that they were the same life, human life. That's all they knew. They were like our babies that come today or yesterday or will come tonight or tomorrow. Those babies come here crying in the same language. Their sounds sound all alike. Their expressions are all alike. Their nature is the same. They are not of one nation or another. They are not of one culture or another. They are new and they belong to one life. Whether they be the child of Chinese or the child of English person, they are one life. That's a sign to us from God that He made us one life. And the Scripture moves us, wants to motivate us, wants to stimulate us, wants to excite our interest in knowing the purpose for this life. The purpose for this life. Why are we here? Why are we different? Why we can do so much more with our freedom than a bird or an animal? Because we have the power to think and the power to imagine and the power to work for what we imagine. Now, maybe a bird or an animal can think and imagine, but for some reason, they can't do with their imagination what we do with ours. Because we have used our imagination to clothe ourselves and make ourselves look different. We have used our imagination to produce a totally new man-made environment for ourselves. We are not creatures depending on that has sprung up naturally out of the earth. We have the power of imagination to imagine even a different world for ourselves. And we have created transportation that make us move about better than fish, move about better than birds. We outdo them all. We are the amazing life on this planet. And I wonder what's wrong with a human being that can't be moved by what I'm saying. God made every human being to be moved by human excellence. The possibilities that are not open to animals or plants or nothing living. Made every human being to be moved by that. That should stimulate you. That should touch your life inside and make you engage what I'm saying. You should be fastening your mind on what I'm saying. Or you should be saying, that's the way I've been thinking all along. And feeling good that somebody else thinks like you think. So we read these simple expressions in Scripture. And to us, they're just simple expressions. We read the expression the prophet called the people, and he called them to wholeness. 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 And Muhammad comes behind those prophets before him, and he calls the people also to wholeness. And he stresses it even more. Why? Because God had picked a man that had gone outside of his country. And he saw the life of Syrians and other people. And his mind was ready to work for the wholeness of life. Because he had seen more of life. Those who get an opportunity to see more of life, their minds expand. Those who don't get a chance to see more of life, they can be blessed by God. God can reveal to them. And God can awaken in them an interest in the universe. And he can be in his little small place physically and never went out of it. But he has his mind awakened to travel. So his mind traveled to the stars, like Abraham did. But understand, Abraham was also a man that was forced to get out of his own land because he disagreed with the worship of false gods. And he had to leave that land to have peace. So he was also a traveler. He also saw more of the world. And he wanted wholeness. He wanted wholeness. Praise be to God. Now go on in the New Testament. Go on, you're okay now. You are whole. W-H-O-L-E. You are whole. When you're thinking of nothing about sex, you're small. You're so small. If you think nothing about sex, you're no smaller than an animal in heat. Enemy of human life wants to regress as many as possible. Want to retard. A lot of you don't know what regression is. You can't understand regression. But I'm sure a lot of you have heard you're retarded. Want to retard as many as possible so that there'll be more for few. So the devil is a businessman too. The Shaitan is a businessman, first and last. He's a businessman. It's all about business with the Shaitan. So he say, hey, I got a plan for this money. We got a plan for world money. Not just America's money, world money. The Shaitan has a plan for world money. And he wants his plan to be supported by all of our money. He has a world plan. So he wants America's dollars to support his plan. He wants European dollars to support his plan. He wants Asian dollars to support his plan. So this Shaitan, this what you call devil, spooked you. That word spooked a lot of you all up. But the devil is real. Ain't no spook. The devil is real. He's reality. Oh, he sounds like his father now. Well, you don't know my father. Because he said a black person can become devil overnight. Now, the devil can be in anybody. The devil can be in anybody. But I tell you, if you want to find Satan, the big devil, don't look in the black neighborhood. Ain't enough sense there. What I'm talking about, business sense. Ain't enough business sense there. Ain't enough money sense there. Don't worry about the devil being in your neighborhood. You ain't got enough business sense in your neighborhood. The devil's in your neighborhood. He's in there getting your money. Still ain't one of you. So God has created us naturally to grow, as Allah said, as God said to us in the Quran, to grow high, to grow in every respect, to grow in every way necessary, every way demanded of human life and community. Yes. So you have to grow in business. You have to grow in business, not just spiritually. God has created us to grow in business. And it says, be fruitful and multiply in one book of the Bible. Be fruitful and multiply. It's not talking about sex as much as it's talking about be productive industrially and multiply as a people. Your production. It's talking about your production as an industrial people more than it's talking about sex. Why would God have to reveal to some man or woman or a messenger or something to tell me to have sex? I learned that when I was about 12 years old. I didn't need a revelation. And let me go on my own, I'll be fruitful and multiply like a rabbit. I have to restrain that. I don't need nobody to tell me to increase it. I have to hold that back. Wake up. It's bigger than you think. And then the scripture says, in our scripture, Quran, although I'm a student of the Bible too, it says, no fair estimate have they made of God. Some people have looked so low, small God, oh, their God is so small. Smaller than they are. They've got a God that's smaller than they are. That's no good. That's no good. We have to seek excellence. That's our nature. God has created us to seek better. Excellence. Better. To want better. But our focus for this address is on life. Wholeness. Wholeness. By wholeness we mean completeness for the plan of that life. And God says, and he has created the life, a parable of our creation as life, is the parable of a plant. And a plant comes as a seed. So does human life. It comes as a seed. And from that seed develops a life that we can perceive. It's a man, it's a male, it's a female, it's a man, it's a woman. So there's a plant to see. They say, oh, it's corn, it's wheat, it's tomatoes, whatever. But it comes from a little seed. When you look at the tomato seed, you don't see a tomato. When you look at a corn, a seed, a kernel, you don't see a ear of corn. But you do see corn. Huh? So some life are different. Some life that won't show you what it's going to be in its seed. But some life does. Like corn. One kernel of corn that you put in the ground, it looks just like the one you eat. Huh? Some plant, you put the seed in the ground, you hide it. You bury it. Put it away. And when the right conditions come, moisture, warmth, etc., it bursts open, comes out of its confinement. You know, some of us, mentally, in terms of where we should be in this world, what we should be doing with our life, we are nothing but seeds, some hard seeds, haven't even broken out of your first confinement that prevents you from having the freedom to engage the world, the material world, the air, sunshine, universe. You're confined. You haven't even got in you yet an interest to engage these things like Abraham did. He looked out into the far heaven and he wondered about those things in the sky. His mind traveled and he finally came to the conclusion that this is one system of matter. The universe is a wholeness. So sky and earth be separated, they rub together. They're a system. For weather and other things. He discovered the wholeness of the world. And he declared that the one that designed this marvelous creation is God. And he avowed that he would have no other God. Only one God. Praise be to God.
Yes. So again, coming back to the parable of human life, the plant. Some of us are like the seed, like the small seed. Some seeds will respond to the conditions of life, for the growth of life. And they will not only produce a plant and a fruit holding their seed to be fruit to be used again, but they will reveal their own origin. They will reveal their own identity. Like the corn. But the corn hides it too, doesn't it?
He had to take the shucks off the corn. You see, it's identity. So it produces identity, just like you put it in the ground. But when it produces it for you to eat or to gather again, it covers it with shucks. And you know, it must appreciate fine work. It puts fine silk on the next to the corn, and then it covers it with tough stuff. Oh, that's hiding from something that it cares about.